Our lesson this morning is part two of Explaining Human Destinies in Bible Prophecy, Explaining Human Destinies of the Tribulation Period. Following our initial single lesson on human destinies in Bible prophecy charted, feedback from class members revealed the need for a five-part follow-up lesson series to explain key details of that initial lesson. So we're teaching a follow-up series using the chart of our initial lesson for clarity and detailing key subjects of the chart. And the second lesson on the series handles human destinies of the tribulation period. I'd like to look to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll get into his word. Father, we thank you for the opportunity that you grant us to be able to gather this morning. We thank you for your word. Thank you for the indwelling Spirit of God who authored scripture through holy men of God, who illumines the word of God to us, who teaches us through his word, and then who equips us to live it in accordance with the power that he provides in us. We thank you, Father, for each of these ministries. We'd ask wisdom to utilize them, that you might understand your word, and that to be edified and to edify others. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. After the rapture of the church comes the tribulation period, the 70th so-called week of Daniel 9:27. And we explain. What I want to do is to read that passage first, and then we'll look at it. Daniel 9, beginning at verse 24. This is where the angel was speaking with Daniel. And I'm just reading, I'm going to translate it from the King James Version. Daniel 9, 24 to 27. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy place. Know therefore, and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to rebuild Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, the wall, even in times of trouble. And after the 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the Prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even unto the consummation, and that determined shall be poured out upon the desolate. Okay, we're going to explain this. The Daniel 9, 24 to 27 King James Version, 70 weeks, as it's translated in the King James, was a timeline that God gave to Daniel when he was in the Babylonian captivity. And this timeline runs from the edict to restore Jerusalem after the Babylonian captivity, and it runs down to the time of Christ's kingdom. Now, the word weeks in this passage is literally sevens in Hebrew. They don't have the technical word week. They have the word sevens. And Daniel 9, 24 to 27 tells of 70 sets of 7 years as Daniel had been thinking of the years of the captivity. Now, the reason we get this is God had told the children of Israel through Moses that they were supposed to keep the land Sabbath every 7th year. Israel never kept the land Sabbath for 490 years, so she missed 70 land Sabbaths. So Moses had said, if you do that, God's going to take you into captivity, and he's going to make up the lost land Sabbaths. So they were in captivity for 70 years, which makes up the land Sabbaths missed for 490 years, because there are 70 missed land Sabbaths in the 490 years. So the angel Gabriel is telling Daniel, and Daniel is reading, according to Daniel chapter 9, verse 2, he was reading about Jeremiah's prophecy that this had come to pass. That's why they were spending time in Babylon. Then the angel said, just as you had 490 years, there's another 490 years for your people. So you're halfway through as far as God's dealing with you. That's why we get this timeline. Now, these 70 sets of 7 years, or 490 years, entail God's work with Israel. Notice, it's thy people of Daniel. This is determined for thy people. The thy people of Daniel is Israel. It's not the church. Thy people. The church is not mentioned in this timeline because the church is hidden until it was revealed in Paul's ministry after Christ's earthly life. We get that from Paul's writings in Ephesians 2:11 to 3:6. In fact, when Jesus was going up to the Mount of Olives to ascend, the disciples asked him, are you going to establish your kingdom at this time? And Jesus said, it is not for you to know the time or the seasons that the Father has put in his hand. The implication is no. But you shall be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and so forth. So the disciples didn't know when the kingdom was coming. They knew it was out there. And even on the day of Pentecost when Peter preached, he preached, repent so that the time of the seasons can come. He was still looking forward to the Messianic kingdom. It took a generation for the Jews to recognize there's an era called the age of the church. And it took quite a while to adjust to that. So the church is not mentioned in the timeline, for it was hidden until it was revealed after Christ's earthly life. However, the church is hidden in the timeline, and it's hidden at Daniel 9:26, and we'll cover that in just a little bit. It's not mentioned, but it is hidden in that era. Now, the 7 plus 62 sets of Daniel 9:24 to 25, that is the first 69 sets, or the timeline's first 483 years, were fulfilled in the Hebrew calendar of 360 days per year. You can't use our calendar. You have to use the Jewish calendar. Starting with Artaxerxes Longimanus' March 5, 444 BC decree, and it's recorded in Nehemiah chapter 2, 1 to 8, to rebuild Jerusalem, and ending with Christ's formal presentation to Jerusalem on Palm Sunday on March 30th, AD 33. It's interesting, when Jesus was riding the donkey into Jerusalem, he lamented over the city. If you had known in this your day the things belong to your peace, but now they're going to be hidden from you. This your day was the fulfillment of the 69th week. Okay? So Jesus was absolutely right on target. The first seven sets, that's why it's broken into seven and then 62. The first seven sets are the first 49 years until the building of Jerusalem's wall, its public square, and the moat. And that's why it's broken into those 49 years. And the next 62 sets, or another 434 years, entailed getting to Christ on March 30th, A.D. 33. That's why it's broken down to two, and then, and into seven, and then 62. Together they make 69, but you have to have the city and the moat and everything built. That happened in 49 years. And then the next period of time, up to the end of the 69th, had to be Christ presenting himself on March 30, A.D. 33. After, this is so important, after the end of the 7 plus 62 sets, that is after the end of the first 69 sets or the first 483 years, at Daniel 9:26a, Christ was crucified. In fact, he was crucified just days after the end of the 90th. He was crucified and the Romans destroyed Jerusalem and its temple. Today, we are at Daniel 9:26b, when Israel faces war and desolations and the hidden church exists and waits to be raptured. In fact, the church will be raptured sometime in that Daniel 9:26b. This is why Israel has this problems of war. It's going on and on and on. The reason is it's divine discipline because they have rejected their Messiah. And God doesn't like his son to be rejected. So that's why this is going on. That will continue. And Israel's problems will continue even into the tribulation period until she repents regarding Christ. And when she does, there's going to be tremendous peace for her. So Daniel 9:27 is the 70th set the seven-year tribulation period that follows the rapture of the church. Okay? So that's where we are. Now, after the rapture comes the Daniel 9:27 tribulation period, when the Antichrist is revealed, 2 Thessalonians 2:6-9, and he forms a treaty with Israel. Now, I didn't put this in there, but there's probably some expanse of time between the rapture of the church and the start of the 70th week, because the Antichrist has to come to power. He comes to power, according to the book of Revelation, by putting down, or book of Daniel, by putting down three kings of Europe and taking control over that. So he's got to come to power, and then he sets up the treaty with Israel. So what is it? It could be a number of weeks, it could be a number of months, it might be a year or so. We don't know. That there could be a time between the rapture and his forming the treaty. But the start of the 70th week is when he forms the treaty. That's when the clock starts ticking on the seventh set. Now, halfway through the tribulation, that's 1,260 days or 3.5 Hebrew years later, the Antichrist breaks the treaty, he defiles the temple according to Daniel 9:27, and he tries to destroy Israel according to Revelation chapter 12, 1 through 7. Okay? We're talking about Hebrew years here. Jesus, in Matthew 24, predicted key details of this Daniel 9:27 tribulation period and his second coming. So I want to turn over to Matthew 24. This has been a big bigaboo with many, many Christians. They get mixed up on this. They've been taught that this relates to the church. And if you feel that it relates to the church, you end up in a tremendous quandary, because there are tremendous complications if you do that. But this was not for that. Jesus in Matthew 24 predicted key details of this Daniel 9:27 tribulation period and his second coming. Some say that Christ's Matthew 24 address refers to the church. But as we covered earlier, Ephesians 2:11-3:6 shows the church was still hidden in Christ's earthly life. So Jesus in Matthew 24 told of God's work with Israel. And if you focus on making this God's work with Israel, it fits perfectly with the program. And let me explain that. First, then, Matthew 24:4-8 tells of the first half of the Daniel 9:27 tribulation. I want to read those verses. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Messiah, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors or reactions of wars. See that be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and diseases and earthquakes in divers places. All these things are the beginning of sorrows. That's the first half of the tribulation. That fits Revelation beautifully. Now, B, Matthew 24:9-15 tells of the middle of the tribulation when the Antichrist defiles the temple and pursues Israel. Verse 9, then shall they deliver you, that's the Jews, up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another, and many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. The salvation here is physical salvation. People will have to endure the tribulation period by living by faith. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto the nations, and then shall the end come. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, he's talking about Daniel 9:27, shall stand in the holy place, whosoever readeth, let him understand. Then let him which is in the Judea flee to the mountains. This is when the Antichrist is going to go after Israel. And let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child and to them that nurse in those days. But pray you that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall there be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. And that's the second part of the tribulation period. Okay? Now, here we are. Matthew 24:16-22 tells the last half of the tribulation. Matthew 24:23-30 tells of Christ's second coming. Let me read that. Verses 23-30. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Messiah, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false messiahs and false prophets, and shall show great miraculous signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, don't go there. Behold, if he's in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning comes out of the east and shines even unto the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. That's the second coming of Christ. There's going to be no mistake about it. It's going to be worldwide. Apparently, the earth will be turning on its axis, and Christ is going to take his time coming down, probably over a two-week period of time. So everybody's going to see Christ in his glory coming. And, of course, he's going to be coming as a king. He's going to be coming as a judge. The first time he came with gentleness without judgment. Second time, he comes on a white horse to judge. So he's coming as a triumphant invader. And then Matthew 24:31 tells of God's following worldwide gathering of believing survivors of the tribulation. Verse 31, and he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the trumpet to the other. That's not the rapture. The rapture occurred before the tribulation. This is where he's gathering. And the sound of the trumpet, when Israel would prepare to move in the Old Testament, they would have the sounding of the silver trumpets. And so it was an indication for the time for God's people to move. And the time for God's people to move at this particular time is to move from where they are in Argentina and Japan and America and everything, and to gather them back into the land of Israel. This is fulfilled the Feast of Trumpets, incidentally, in Israel's feast in Leviticus. So that's going to occur at that particular time. Now, some people say that the Matthew 24:41 event, where one is taken and the other left, is the rapture. Let me skip down to that. Chapter 24:40-41 says this, then shall two be in the field, one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. And that is often interpreted as the rapture. But that cannot be, and let me explain why. This event, some say that Matthew 24:40-41 event, where one is taken, the other left, is the rapture. But this event occurs at Christ's Matthew 24:29-30 second coming. So viewing it as the rapture makes it a post-tribulation rapture. And 2 Thessalonians 2:1-12 shows that that errs. For a post-tribulation rapture errantly makes Christians face the tribulation, and that is for those who are rejecting Christ. No Christian is guilty of rejecting Christ, so no Christian can face the tribulation. Rather, Matthew 24:40-41 predicts the angels taking of unbelievers to hell, like the near context of Matthew 24:37-39, has unbelievers taken away in the flood. If you'll notice just in front of that, notice in verse 38 of Matthew 24, Jesus is saying, as in the days that were before the flood, that's the Noahic flood, when they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. So what's happening in verse 39 is the flood has taken away the people. What are they taking away? The believers? No, the believers are in the ark. He's taken away the unbelievers outside of the ark. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken. To be consistent with the context, the one who's taken is the unbeliever. And the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, one shall be taken, the other left. So this is going to happen with men and women. So that's why we believe the taking there does not deal with the rapture. It's just the opposite. They're just like in the flood, the people were taken away in the flood. The angels are going to be taken away, the unbelievers. And that's part of the judgment of God. We'll get into the post-second coming Christ judgments next week, because there's a lot of material in that. Now, during the entire tribulation period, God will provide 144,000 Hebrew evangelists who are sealed so that they will be protected from the Antichrist and from God's judgments, so that they will be able to witness to people worldwide. That happens in Revelation 7, 1-18. And people from all over the world will believe in Christ by their ministry, according to Revelation 7, 9-17. And so what happens to people that we know or loved ones that do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, if the rapture were to happen later today, God is still going to give them a powerful witness of these 144,000 evangelists, like the Apostle Paul. And they will cover the earth, and they will powerfully minister the Word of God and lead many people to Jesus Christ. In the second half of the tribulation, there is a big debate going on as to whether this is in the second half or in the first half. For us, it doesn't make any difference. They're going to be ministering in one of the halves. In the second half of the tribulation, God will raise up two witnesses to world rulers. The Antichrist will kill them, but after 3 days, they will be raised and ascend to heaven as a witness to the world. Actually, it's 3.5 days. Revelation 11, 3-14. I'll have to correct that and get back to Craig so he can post it. Also, during the entire tribulation period, many believers will die, and their souls will go to heaven until the resurrections that occur at the start of the millennial kingdom. That's according to Revelation chapter 20, verses 4-6. I'm not including the resurrection of Old Testament saints or believers at this time, because that comes after the 75-day cushion period between the second coming of Christ and the millennial kingdom. We'll cover that next week as well. Some believers will survive the tribulation period in natural bodies by living by faith in Christ, according to Luke 18, 7-8, and Matthew chapter 24, verse 13 and 31. Those are the people who will repopulate the earth with people in natural bodies. So after the rapture, the tribulation period will occur as a time of great trial, but also of great evangelism. So may we not give up hope on unsaved people we know, for they can be saved even after the rapture. When the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, nobody is going to be on the fence. You're either going to be very much in favor of the Lord Jesus Christ, or you're going to be very much in favor of the Antichrist. So it's going to be very easy for God to judge. And the goal of the tribulation period is to get people off of the fence. You have many people who are on the fence right now. They'll think highly of Jesus. They think that he's good in man, but they haven't accepted him as their Savior. That's going to change dramatically with the great tribulation that's going to come in. And with the Antichrist and with his wickedness and his evil, he's going to be very opposite Christ. And so it's going to be very easy to cause the entire world to be separated into the sheep and the goats, so to speak. That's going to happen. So we don't have to worry about God being unfair. When unsaved people are taken by the angels, they will have voiced their very strong opinion and their very strong commitment to the Antichrist, whereas believers will have done the opposite. So God is very just. He's very fair. He's giving the tribulation is actually a very merciful thing to do, because God knows what eternity in hell's like, or eternity in the lake of fire is like. So 7 years of tribulation is a cakewalk, really, compared to eternity in the lake of fire. So God is going to allow people a wonderful opportunity. It's not a wonderful opportunity. It's a very difficult opportunity, but nevertheless a very gracious opportunity to change their minds and come down on the side of the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. So this demonstrates actually the mercy of God in view of eternity. But the righteousness of God demands that sin be punished and that the rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ be punished. So that is going to happen one way or another. Okay, we'll open it up for questions or feedback that you have. I want to announce again, we do have extra copies.